Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Nesters are an In the Moment and SDPB fan favorite, and today's a special visit as they join us for a live moment in sound in the Leo P. Flynn Gallery in our new Sioux Falls location. The Nesters are Eliza Blue and Jamie Lynn, two of South Dakota's most accomplished and well-known musicians and vocalists. Eliza has just released a new CD, and you can see Eliza and Jamie later tonight at Fernson on 8th in Sioux Falls. Saturday night, they play the AME Historic Allen Chapel in Yankton. And Sunday evening, the Nesters play Pizza Night at Good Roots Farm, and that's right outside of Brookings. And you can tune in here. We've got people in our live studio audience, so you still have time to stop by. But thanks to everyone for coming. And you can also watch on SD.net and on our SDPB Facebook music page. So welcome to everyone who's watching digitally, everyone who is in the crowd, and everyone who's joining us on the radio. Eliza and Jamie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so there's lots of projects. I mentioned your new CD. You are in the middle of several projects, Jamie, as well. So let's start with a little bit about the tour, because you've been west, you've been up north to Minnesota. Eliza, what's been going on with the tour this summer?
Well, we headed out to Montana in July. So the record was released at the beginning of July. Then the Nesters went to Montana to play a few shows. We played at Red Ants Pants Music Festival. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I went and played in Minneapolis and Winona, Minnesota. And so this is now the eastern southern leg of of the release / Nesters summer tour. So, yeah, and Jamie has been traveling even more than me. So she's been on the road almost every weekend all summer. So we're I think a little glad to be at the end of the tour. It's been a great summer. Lots of really great shows. But Yeah. You know, you at this point,
it's okay to be home.
This is why you have to do this in the summer though, because then you kind of look forward to winter and the quiet, and you don't mind so much getting snowed in. Because you've seen the world, and now you're ready to be home.
And Jamie, tell me a little bit about several projects, South Dakota Duets, going on. What's been happening for you, not only with Eliza, but as an individual?
So this summer, we've done a lot of playing together as a duo. And I've also gotten the chance to play a lot with the JAS Quintet to kind of support our album that we released last year. And we didn't get to play behind it so much. So this summer, we got to hit some really great venues and gatherings in eastern South Dakota with that group, and I've done a little bit of solo touring, and this weekend I'm finally releasing the final installment in my Dakota Duets project, which I've been working on with Andrew Reinertz and Dalton Coffey. Most of the recording and everything was done last year, but with the help of South Dakota Magazine, we've kind of been releasing them one a month for the past 6 months. And we just finished up this weekend with a duet that I did with Derek Lawrence from Sisseton.
What's the response to that, Ben, Jamie, as people sort of embrace the idea and also the individuals that you're with?
I think it's been pretty good. And people are always interested to see musicians that they usually see play a certain style of music or play in a certain way, step out of that. And, some of the collaborations have been pulled me into a different style of playing or not playing at all, just singing. And as was the case with this last one, and it was just really fun for me to do. And I think people pick up on that when you're enjoying what you're doing. So, yeah, it's been a fun project.
Well, let's enjoy some music now. So what would you like to start with? Give us a story behind the song.
So we're actually going to start with a cover song because we've had a lot of fun playing banjo, fiddle. You know, these instruments kind of grew up together in the southeastern part of the country in the folk music tradition. They grew up together. And so it's fun to pair them together and do some traditional sounding songs. This is one of those. It's called The Little Black Pony.
When I was a little girl, I had no time for ceremony. All I wanna do is see the world from the back of a little black pony. Back of a little black pony. Destiny lived across the street, had a daughter my age named Johnny. Summertime, we built a boat and we sail the island, Coney. Sail to the island, Coney. Used to be a medicine man come round. Everybody said he was a fool. Thought he was a king when I heard him ring the big bell on the little black pony. He was riding a little black pony. I said, hey, mister, what can I give you? I haven't got much money. Do anything if you try to sing, if you give me that black pony. Gotta have that little black pony. Said to learn to play the banjo, play the old songs, happy and lonely. I'll be back this week someday, and you can have that pony. You can have that little black pony. Well, that medicine man, he never came back. Never did think he was a phony. I just guess he must have realized couldn't live without that pony. Couldn't live without that little black pony. Ceremony. All I wanna do is see the world from the back of a little black pony. From the back of a little black,
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 back of a little black pony.
You're just tuning in. You're listening to the Nesters on Moment and Sound here on SDPB Radio. We are live in the studio in the Leo Flynn Gallery here in the new Sioux Falls studio. We have an audience of guests. You can watch us online on SDPB's Facebook music page and at SD.net where you can find this. Let's talk a little bit. It's such a great story about how you two sort of found each other musically. Tell us how far back you go that you've been playing together and how that ended up happening.
Well, we met over the internet.
Yeah. Eliza kind of asked me out on a musical date.
I totally did. I Facebook messengered her. Because I live up 2.5 hours north of the hills on a ranch. And as you might guess, it's pretty secluded, a little isolated. And I had been going back and forth to Minneapolis to play shows and was just really missing having people to collaborate with. And so I decided I was going to be brave and just sent Jamie a random message like, hello, you don't know me, but I'm a big fan, and would you ever maybe sit down and we could pick some tunes or something? And she said yes.
She said yes. Yep.
So what's those first few minutes like when musicians get together and do that? What do you do for us? It's like a first date. You have to get over the awkwardness of that.
It totally was. And we didn't play at all. Like the first time we got together, we just talked. I think we played 2 songs.
Yeah. But I think both of us kind of knew, like, you know, she knew about my music years before we met, and I knew about her music years before we met, like watched her. And then when I saw that she popped up on the South Dakota Arts Council artist roster, I was like, who is this person that's doing the same thing I'm doing? And so we were very aware of each other before we met, and so we just knew it was going to work. So we didn't need to practice the first time.
We didn't need to practice.
So when you first start playing and singing together, what's the moment where you look right at each other and go, yeah, this is gonna work? Do you know right away?
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm not. Did you feel like you had that moment?
I felt like I just was so confident before we even did anything that
it was going to be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did have that kind of vibe. It was like, we like all the same music. We both play banjo, which, I mean, so there you go. 2 banjos, you're done. And it was more like, will we also just gel, I guess, as people?
Right.
And so maybe that's why we had to chat so much the first time. Or maybe it was just fun to chat. I don't know. Again, yeah. I had at that point when my son was very small and I'm living alone on this ranch. So I think it might have been me that just wanted to talk.
Like, you could have been anybody, Jamie.
Yeah,
that's
point. Anybody who stepped by probably would have gotten to talk to me for a couple hours.
Fortunately for Eliza, it was you because at that point. What would you like to play for us next?
Well, the next song we're going to play, I think this one is actually a great example of what this collaboration has meant, especially for me, because this is a song I started writing years and years ago when I was living on the coast of Maine. And it sort of had, you know, it was a little bit more autobiographical at that point. And, you know, the chorus has remained the same. But then I moved back west to Minnesota, and it changed. And then when I got to South Dakota, it changed again. And then when Jamie and I started working together, I finally wrote, finally felt like it was done. And when she added harmony to it, it was like, well, this is the song. This is how the song was always supposed to be. And it just, you know, it took like a decade to get here. But so it's been great because, like I said, it's a song I've played solo many times. But when I play it with her, that's how it's supposed to be. So it's called Bury Me Deep.
Eliza Blue and Jamie Lynn on SDPB Radio. You can tune in and watch on our Facebook music page and on SD.net. They're going to be there here this whole hour. In a few minutes, we're going to have some Lakota Star Knowledge from Craig Howe as well, and then we'll go back to more time with the Nesters. But before we take a break, let's talk a little bit about the things that you do for an audience, like when you're writing a song and the audience interaction that you have, the things that you write for yourself, for your own creative process, and then the things that you kind of do for each other. How do those things intersect? Are there times where you're like, yeah, this is going to be something that Eliza's really going to like, or are you just writing something you for you?
That's such a good question.
It is a great question. I think 90% of the writing that I do is selfish, like completely for myself. I bet there, you know, there from time to time, there's a few songs that come out that, you know, kind of have a poppy sound to them, or, you know, they're more, I realize that they're more marketable or, you know, catchier. And sometimes if I start a song or I have something stuck in my head like that, I'll finish it with the intention of like, oh, I think, you know, I'll send it in a direction that's even more shiny. I don't know how else to describe it for the audience. Do you think we've done writing for
each other
for this group?
Well, I don't, all right, so that is such, I mean, that is such an interesting question. And I would put the percentage more at like 99.9 is stuff I do just for myself, because I don't know, it seems like that's the only way anything interesting ever happens. If I try to do it any other way than to please myself, that just nothing even comes out. It's kind of futile. But like, I couldn't go to Nashville and be a songwriter, that's for sure. But in terms of stuff for our group, I mean, there's definitely, we send each other recordings, you know, in text messages. And there have definitely been times that Jamie sent me a new song that I'm just like, we have to do this one. I cannot not do this song with you. So I think a lot of times, more so with her songwriting, when she writes a new song, she'll send it to me and we'll kind of decide if it's going to be a Nestor song. And I don't know, most of the time I love it, so it ends up that it's something that she'll maybe do solo also, but then we work up a version that we can do together. And that's been true, I think, of my songs as well. But it's been really, so now that I live rurally and don't get to play out as much, it's been a really different experience for me, because it used to be I would write a song and I was playing, you know, gigs practically every night of the week and certainly of the weekend. So they'd get a lot of road testing before I recorded it. So even though I didn't necessarily think I was doing it for an audience, I probably, you know, if people were into it, like, I might, like, keep it like that. If people didn't seem into it, I might continue to work on it. And I don't have that luxury now, so, but it's actually been really cool, because it's like, I have to be really sure that I love the song before I bring it to people. And then that's kind of, it's like, it's go time. It's do or die, because I know the next show won't be for a while. So, I don't know. So it's been kind of nice, I guess, but... Do you find that too, that your songs change over time as you play them?
Yeah.
So we do. I'm looking at the audience now. We have more of a relationship, I think, with an audience than the audience maybe realizes. Like, you influence us more than you know. And so certainly.
And Jamie, add to that with just, you know, the academic research that you've done about folk music in the region, that probably is sort of how folk music works. It evolves and changes and goes
right
throughout time.
Right.
Expand on that a little.
It's so some of the, a few of the songs that we play have been around for at least a couple hundred years, you know, longer. And we have our own inflection on that song. Sometimes it's even like lyrically, we change a lyric here or there. Mm. And throughout that song's life, you know, people forget verses, they change verses, they might add a little melodic difference, or maybe change the end of it at all. So the end result is, you know, today when you dig around in folk songs, a lot of them kind of like have things in common. Sometimes it's even like the words in the verse. Like, there's tons of folk songs that have something about not liking my peaches and not climbing my tree. Like, I can think of three songs that's been included in. And it's just that, it's the life of a song, you know, it takes on a life of its own, which is kind of interesting to think about. And I suppose that's true with our young songs too, that are only around for, have only been around for a couple of years at most, you know, they change too.
Do you think your songs will be around long after you're gone? Are we still in that kind of world?
I don't.
Or have the times changed to where that is not quite how it works anymore?
Hmm. I don't think it probably works that way anymore. No. Just because there's so much more out there. You know, back when there were 10 popular folk songs that were, you know, maybe they were printed in a newspaper with different lyrics, or, you know, they were passed along through a family, you didn't hear a ton of different songs. Mm-hmm. And now today you can go and listen for the rest of your life and not hear everything that's out there. Right. And it's at your fingertips, so...
Well, I would disagree. I think it's going to look really different, because instead of folk music passed around, you know, by individuals or family units, small group to small group, it would happen on a bigger scale. But because I was just thinking of the song "Hallelujah" by Leonard Cohen, which nobody even knows is by Leonard Cohen, because the version that became popular was Jeff Buckley, and then since then it's just exploded. I mean, there's probably thousands of versions of it, so that song will definitely live on, I would guess, for at least a little while longer, because it's a great song. So I do think that great songs that touch on something deep, whether it's because I do think that there's some melodies that are just so intuitive that we weirdly just know them and want to keep hearing them. So I do think that will happen. It just might not happen, you know, because people are playing in their kitchen, and then their kids are playing in someone else's kitchen and things like that. So, so great songs will live, I think.
Let's hear one more great song before we take a break from the Nesters. So what's next?
Well, this one's called 40 Miles, and it's the story of my great-great-great-grandfather. His wife, they homesteaded near Summit, and then later on, when the western part of the state was also open for settlers to come in and claim chunks of land, he went farther west, and it didn't work out. He was there for 2 years, lost both of his kids, and the story in my family goes that before he left that plot of land, he pounded a sign into the only pine tree on that piece of property that said, 40 miles to water, 40 miles to wood, I'm leaving this damn country, and I'm leaving it for good. So it was already written for me.
The Nesters on today's Moment in Sound. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have more with them after after this break and after some star knowledge from Craig Howe. Stay with us on STPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Nesters perform East River shows this weekend, beginning tonight at Fernson on 8th in Sioux Falls. Tomorrow night, you can see them at the AME Chapel in Yankton, and Sunday at Good Roots Farm just outside Brookings for pizza night. And we welcome them back now as they join us today in SDPB Radio's Leo P. Flynn Gallery in the new Sioux Falls studio. So welcome back. We have a studio audience here with us. Welcome to you. And you can join us online at sd.net and on SDPB's Facebook music page. So let's talk a little bit about a project that you recently did, Eliza, with South Dakota Magazine, or through, I'm not exactly sure where this project started, but sort of recreating this iconic Harvey Dunn photo. Tell us that story.
Well, in our studio audience is actually Christian Begeman, who is the photographer. So I wish he could come up and tell you the origins, because he would know better than I.
I think he probably
could. He's also the unofficial but official photographer of the Nesters.
Yeah, he is the unofficial but official photographer of the Nesters. Yeah, we've been really, really lucky. He's helped us and collaborated with us on several different projects. And this, I think he was approached first. Because there was a family living or that ranches outside of Isabel, South Dakota, that it had sort of been passed through their family lore that that painting, there was people living on the land then, the homesteaders from that period that had maybe had Harvey Dunn was staying with them or had been passing through. And anyway, so their family believed that they were the subjects of the painting. And I understand that there's, more than one family that believes that, but they had a really strong claim as to why they believe that to be true. So South Dakota Magazine had approached Christian about coming out and doing some photography, and they thought it might be fun to also recreate the original painting. The Prairie is My Garden being that painting, which if probably you're familiar with it, it just depicts a woman, and she's got her two small children with her, and then a bouquet of flowers in her hand. And then her homestead is sort of in the background of the painting. So we went out, and I have two little kids, so we actually, and they're smaller than the children in the painting. So we went out, and one evening, took some photographs, and because the town I live in is pretty close to Isabel, I think that's how I got to be the model. Convenience, and having two kids. But it was super fun, really exciting to kind of get to be a part of history. And it just happened to be an absolutely beautiful evening. Although there was a lot of mosquitoes. That's the other thing. Well, we got a little bit swarmed, and then the wind picked up, so we were okay. But yeah, it's been cool. There's been quite a response on Facebook, so I think that painting just has a lot of resonance. And so many people wrote in when South Dakota Magazine put the photograph up. So many people wrote just saying, "Oh, my grandparents had a copy of that in their living room." And I mean, I think for a lot of South Dakotans, that picture is just really a big part of their childhood and memories and ideas of our homesteading ancestors. So,
and as you stand there, and I think about both of your music and sort of the narrative of women on the prairie, this is something that both of you have. So I thought, I'm not sure you were chosen just because you happen to be in the neighborhood, but it might have had something to do with the work that you do as well. Both of you really kind of telling those stories. Jamie, talk a little bit about some of that and why that still captivates you.
Yeah, I think the thing that inspires me most to write and to make music is still the landscape. You know, the land changes a lot as you go from one part of the state to the other end of the state, and all parts of them are inspiring in different ways. But I think growing up on the prairie, I have a greater connection to that, and especially just exploring my own history. You know, it really changes your perspective on things to know where you came from, or, you know, part of your own story. And I think a lot of people at some point in their life get into that or start reaching for that or asking about it. Mm. And I do that through my music. But I think that's something that, that is the Nesters. We were just shocked when we got together how much we had in common, just our interests outside of music too. Like when we're not playing music together, like we we're really busy together.
It is true. We drove yesterday, you know, from East or from West River, and we barely talked about music because we were talking about homesteading and like our gardens and how difficult it is to have a garden West River and, you know, just ways to keep, stay close to the land. I think that's something that's really important to us and for both of us. It sounds sort of odd, but like we're both really passionate about sustainability and figuring out ways to be a part of people going back to, I think there's a real movement for that right now, and that we really want to be a part of that as sort of, I don't know exactly how we'll incorporate it into music, and maybe we won't, but that's sort of our other selves are really involved and invested in that, which again, it goes back to that sort of agricultural past, I think.
Yeah. What will you play for us next?
Oh, well,
it's perfect.
That's perfect. Perfect segue.
That was just an introduction for this song to call the cows. Because I grew up on a dairy farm in northeastern South Dakota. And Eliza has dabbled in dairy also from time to time. Right? Yeah, Do you have a dairy cow right now?
No, we have two milk cows. We keep out the milk cows. We've had a lot of tragedy. Let's just say that much, and naughtiness too. So our milk cow doesn't. She kept not getting bred back. So she gets freshened like every 2 years or 3 years when she actually has a calf. But otherwise, she just hangs out.
Right. But Eliza's husband calls the cows. Mbas. And my dad called the cows kabas, kabas, kabas. And I didn't realize that those are both their words. It's not just like a vocalese. Like it's kumbas or your cow boss. You're calling the boss cow, and she'll bring the rest of the cows in. So that's what this song's for. Tomcat is waiting for smallest of spills. He stretches and sharpens his claws on the sill. Cowboys, cowboys. Cowboys, cowboys, cowboys,
Come Phoebe and Phyllis, come Dorothy and Dee. Come Tina, sweet Dinah, and Persephone. Come Bessie, Fiona, come Bertha and Lila. Come Norma, Regina, come Celia and Spike. Cowboys, 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 cowboys,
to a moment in sound on SDPB Radio. We've got the Nesters with us, Jamie Lynn and Eliza Blue. We've got time for one more if you want to start right up. I'll give you a little bit of their times. You can see them this weekend, Fernson at Fernson on 8th and Sioux Falls. That's tonight. Tomorrow night at the AME Chapel in Yankton. Sunday is at the Good Roots Farm just outside of Brookings, and you can still tune in to us here at SD.net and SDPB's Facebook page for one more from the Nesters. What will it be?
Well, we're going to finish up with the title track from my new album. It's called South Dakota, First of May.
South Dakota, First of May, we lay planks across the yard. The corner coat frames frosted over the sky is gray. It sounds like oceans overhead, and still it's only almost spring. Last night's snow clings to the dirt road, the sky still gray. In the ditch, a dead bird's black wing lifts, waving in the wind. It sounds like oceans overhead, and still, it's only almost spring. It sounds like oceans overhead, it sounds like oceans overhead. And will the birds shed and sing, turn this endless winter into spring?
Nesters live in the studio at the Leo P. Flynn Gallery in our new SDPB studio in Sioux Falls. Thank you so much. What's next for you? Then you've got this big weekend, and then is it time to exhale? Or
yes.
Now, do you have a CD of Nesters music?
We do. Yeah.
You do now. Okay.
We've got an EP, so it's just a little guy.
And it's very lo-fi. We're going for the DIY look because we hand stamp them. And
all right. CD's available at all the shows coming up. All right. Thank you so much, audience, for being here. And thank you to Eliza Blue and Jamie Lynn as well.